elated. There are four things that I am very familiar with. That is eating meat, drinking, and or dealing with alcoholic beverages, days, which I prefer days off, and debating and quarreling. For those of you that know me pretty well, I don't just go out and try to do that. It's just some things that I enjoy doing, so I can be informed about different matters. So in Romans 14, we're talking about disputable matters and the conflicts that it can bring up. The subtopic is when the body disagrees over non-essential issues, and we're going to discuss what those non-essential issues are. I'm going to give you an example of something. I told Reese, he enjoys this thing called a pour-over coffee. Have any of you had pour-over? Okay, I have never had pour-over until I met Reese. Coffee was just coffee to me, and I just thought coffee was coffee. But here's the thing. Reese was talking about, and people had mentioned pour-over to me, and actually Pastor had mentioned pour-over to me, and it was supposed to be this new level of nirvana, this new level of coffee. And but he never let on that those of us that drink regular coffee were like subhuman. And so I was invited over to his house. And I don't know if you know this term called molecular gastronomy. It's when they turn different types of foods into like foams and gel beads and different things like that. He was like a mad scientist when he was making this coffee for me. And I was astounded, okay? But the proof is in the pudding. And when I had that coffee, it was incredible. It was a life changer for me. It freed me. It made all other coffee subpar. And so now I am like an addict standing on his corner on a Saturday morning waiting for the coffee. But other than that, we're going to talk about certain areas of freedom that we have now that we're, you know, if you've given your life over to Christ, how things have changed for you. So I thought this was an awesome picture. My wife works at the school, and if any of your kids work with her in the recess and stuff, this has no relation to those children, okay? But when I think of disputable matters, I tend to think of little girls having disputable matters, kind of arguing with each other. They have their own opinion, and they kind of like put their feet down and do one of these with each other. I don't think guys do that very well. Little boys, they just punch each other out, and then when they're all done, they run off and play together. Girls, they're a different story. Certain things can go on for quite a while. And I'm going to keep this up here for a second. But like Jerry and Jeff were talking, we are different. All of us are different. And if you look at our family and siblings, our spouses, our cousins, grandparents, we are the same, but we're different. It doesn't stop there. Underneath each one of us, we have our own opinions. We look at things differently. We have our own backgrounds that kind of molded us so that when we see things that are happening in our lives, some people are going to look at it one way, other people are going to look at it a different way. And that actually can cause some disputes. All right, so also when we see that, when we see those things, we assess those things differently. And so when we work with one another, like a coworker or a person in church, you can look at the same scripture and see those things a little bit differently and get very heated about that, all right? For instance, I was working in a, we were doing a ministry with some people that weren't part of the church yet, and me and another gentleman were talking about young earth theory and old earth theory. Some people believe that the earth is like 6,000 years old. Others believe it's millions and millions and millions of years old. And we took different sides on this, and we started going at it in front of these people. And they didn't care which side was going to win. They just wanted to see how we were going to handle it. And at the end, we just said, okay, we agreed to disagree, hugged each other, and went on. And later on, months later, when some of them decided to become Christians, they said, one of the things that really got us was how those two handled that situation. Because I was expecting it to just keep going and keep going. But they resolved it right then and there. They saw it as something that wasn't all that important, and they kept on going with what they were supposed to do. So in Romans 14, we talk about these disputable matters. Now, I got to give you a warning here. It's easy to get it confused with something called, we'll call non-essential, or excuse me, essential or forbidden matters, okay? In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 and 17, I keep hitting these buttons, and I'm looking behind me thinking I'm going to just jump ahead or go behind. But there are certain things that are not disputable. Adultery, drunkenness, gluttony, thievery, lying, sex outside of wedlock. Okay, those are sinful matters. God says they're forbidden. And when a brother or sister has sinned against you, or they're going down that road, in Matthew chapter 15, it talks about how we're supposed to handle those things. But we're not talking about those areas, okay? So sometimes when Paul writes some things, it's easy for us. I don't know if you've ever seen the car trick where they got a table out or coconuts, and they got the red ball under the coconut or the card, and they say, okay, this is the ace of spades, and then they start doing one of these things, you know, and they say, find the ace of spades, and you're all totally confused. That's what happens to me when I read Paul, all right? So I try to break him down as much as I can so it's easier to understand. So realize and remember that we're not talking about those things. We're talking about those things that are not conducive or don't really play into our salvation. So let's look in chapter 14 and see what Paul has to say. So what are disputable matters? Disputable matters are the things which God does not explicitly condemn and which fall within the circle of Christian liberty. Whether these behaviors are right or wrong depends on the convictions and heart attitude of the one doing them. That's Randy Alcorn. He wrote a really book called Heaven. Check it out sometime. They are things that God is silent about, okay? Now, for instance, God really doesn't say a lot about smoking, okay? But it's something that we debate about. God doesn't say a lot about whether women should wear pants, but there has been talk about that in the past. Should women wear pants? Well, you know, some women are wearing pants now. God doesn't say much about cars and carriages, okay? But that was a dispute way back when. So those things we will dispute and talk about. But I want to look at Christian liberty. When Christ died and rose and it did he did away with something. He did away with Jewish sacrificial laws. It did away with the Jewish dietary laws. It did away with all the things that the Pharisees kind of made up. And the Jewish culture were living for so many centuries under this cultural framework. And it was part of their makeup. But when Christ died, he freed them from that. See, those laws were pointing to a way of saying, this is kind of how I kind of want you to understand about being holy and separate. But now when you come into a relationship with Christ, you're free from that stuff. And the problem is that we don't study our word sometimes. We just assume we know. Okay? Or we just go off of what somebody we believe is mature and learned and knowledgeable, and that person says a Christian wouldn't smoke. And then we go, okay, that's what I'm going to think. Or we go, a Christian wouldn't do this. And we don't take it upon ourselves to study the word ourselves and learn what is a disputable matter. And the thing is, when we go before God and have to talk to him about things, he's going to hold us accountable for our decisions and our choices of how we're going to handle these things. So one of the things is we really have to understand what Christian liberty is and not just assume that we know what it is and really think about what we're doing and how we're looking at other people. Some disputable matters are styles of music and worship. Okay, there have been churches that have been ripped down the middle because one group likes contemporary music, which contemporary changes every decade. You can take the 80s contemporary and put it up to 2010 contemporary, and you will find a totally different mix of music. You can take hymns, okay, and then go all the way back to the early Christians, and they had instruments that we don't even play anymore, like ram's horns, and I don't even know what else you want to call those things. But music has changed, okay? So one generation is going to say this is the way it's supposed to be versus another generation, and that's a disputable matter. Working on Sundays, you know, we're no longer really locked down to a specific day as being the Sabbath day. So when you see a friend working on a Sunday and you pass judgment on them, it's not right. All right, here goes another thing. It's really crazy. A lot of Christians have a thing against tattoos and piercings, okay? But they don't have something against eating medium rare meat. Okay, if you like your steak medium rare, so be it. That's great. But if you go back and look in the Old Testament, the passage that talks about tattoos and piercings has within it eating meat with blood in it. So if you're going to wear makeup and you're going to put, no, I'm not focusing on just the women because sometimes guys wear makeup. Johnny Depp wears makeup. But, you know, you wear the gold earrings and stuff like that. And then you see this Christian over here with tattoos and piercings and doing other disputable matters. And then you pass judgment or look down on them. And then you go over to, I don't know, Texas Roadhouse and eat a steak, medium rare. You fell in the same category. See what happens when you're doing that? You got to really read the stuff and study because you're doing some things that are not right. So as we move further on, we go into, I like this little bouncy thing, if you can pick that. Okay, it says personal preference, not divine command. So we're talking about things that are personal preference and not divine command. Weak and strong Christians. So we're going to talk about wine, all right? Wine, I'm not a big wine drinker, all right? Sometimes I'll have a glass, but I have to cook with it sometimes, okay? Sometimes I cook with whiskey. If I end up cooking with that, and very rarely do I do it anymore, my wife doesn't like the taste, but we're not big wine drinkers. If you look at the weak Christian, and they talk about wine, the weak Christian will say no. Okay? No, wine is off limits. They don't understand their freedom in Christ. That's it. They just don't understand their freedom in Christ. To Paul, the weak brother was the stricter one. And guess what? He said it's okay. It's okay. It's okay that they're the stricter one. They tend to be legalistic. They lack love and have judgmental attitudes towards the broad-minded Christian. That's wrong. That's wrong. When they start looking at somebody else and saying, that person, I went to Olive Garden and I saw such and such drinking some wine. All right, red flare should be going off. Really? Okay? Now, if they're falling out of their seat, help them up. Love on them, offer them a ride home, you know, keep your mouth shut because gossip is a sin, okay? So that's Matthew 15 again. But yeah, okay, love on your brother and sister, but understand, okay, these are one of those areas. Here's something that's really crazy. weaker Christians tend to see themselves as being stronger because they tend to see themselves as being, in some ways, they look at themselves and they say, hey, you know, I am following these set of rules. All right? I am following these set of rules. They walk along a line of being self-righteous sometimes, and that's not very good. But here's one thing. If you read it and compare the two, we're going to do that. They have a heart for God. They thank God. They love God. They praise God. They want to glorify God in what they're doing. All right? So then when we look at the strong Christian, they're going to say, yes, I am not saying that they're lushes or drunkards. Lush, I haven't said that in years, okay? That would be a person that tends to like to drink. But they understand their freedom in Christ in indisputable matters. To Paul, the strong Christian was correct in enjoying their liberty, but wrong in despising or looking down on the weaker Christian. So they were okay too, but they were not, they're not supposed to despise and judge the other group, okay? Ohio State versus Michigan. All right? Here we go. A strong Christian is warned not to take advantage of their newfound freedom as license to sin, get caught up in the flesh, or flaunt their liberty before the weak. Example, drinking wine versus being drunk. You gotta watch it. You just gotta watch it. Okay? If you enjoy wine, we're just talking this subject right now. If you enjoy wine and want to partake in it, just be wise about it. You know, if you realize that within your family, in our family, we have a history of being addictive, okay, and going overboard. We're extremists. And there have been issues within our family with alcoholism. I have to watch that. It's just something that I know I have to watch. And you have to be aware of that too in your life. So, yes, you have freedom in areas, but please be careful and understand that you might end up in a sinful situation or in a situation where it's going to devastate your life. And they too had a heart to honor God and bring him glory and to just thank him for what he's done for them. Now, got same but different. So we're going to look at the similarities and differences between weak and strong Christians. I don't know if you guys can see this picture. These are biological sisters. They're twins. They have the same parents. One was born with lighter skin and red hair. The other one had darker hair and darker skin. And I remember that the picture of them as children, and I actually found a picture of them as adults. And now this is what they look like. So they're the same mom and dad, but they look totally different, okay? And I thought, well, yeah, that would be an awesome way of showing them what I meant by that. So similarities, they both wanted to honor God with their choices. They both gave thanks to God, and they are both justified through Jesus and accepted by God. All right? The differences, only one understood and lived in freedoms, in the freedoms that Christ brought them. Mainly, a lot of the differences are in the culture and the background and the way they see things. We got to understand, not everybody here in this church is from the same area. Not everybody grew up in West Liberty, okay? Not everybody grew up from what is the term that is used sometimes? When you are brought up within the Mennonite culture.
Ethnic Mennonite.
Bam! Ethnic Mennonite. I am not an ethnic Mennonite, okay? And that formulates how you think and the way you look and the way you view things. And here goes the other thing. Some were not as mature as others in biblical knowledge. Do not assume that somebody that is coming to church that are in their 80s knows a lot about the Bible. Okay? They may have just been saved last year. You know? you just don't assume things sometimes. As we learn more about the Bible, when we learn about the scriptures, we also learn about more about these areas where we have Christian liberty. This is really cool. We are all weak and strong at various times and in various non-essential issues. So sometimes one person may have the understanding when it comes to tattoos and piercings, but they don't understand an area that you may understand, okay? We all don't have the same amount of knowledge, so we got to help each other out here, all right? And we have to give grace and mercy to one another. And sometimes we slip in and out of those areas of being weak and strong. There was a time in my life where I was physically, if you want to consider it, strong. Now I am not. I used to be able to run 3 miles. I probably can't run 3 minutes. All right? I have slipped out of that area. But, you know, so look at where you are and what you're doing and how you look at things and where those people are too. So how are we going to handle these quarrels? How are we going to handle these differences and disputes that we're going to come up with? One is, accept one another. This is verse 1, and this is a summation of it. Accept one another in love and openness. Last week, I went to a seminar about healthy boundaries. I'm a hugger. And it was so funny that they were talking about hugging. I don't see anything wrong with it, you know? But as they started going on and on about people's backgrounds and issues that they might have and things with hugging, I was like, oh my goodness. You know, I have to be aware that, you know, if I walk up to somebody and hug them, it could put them in a very bad situation. You know what I mean? I hugged a student one time and, you know, she locked up like that. And now we got to do these side hugs. You know what I mean? They said do side hugs. And the weird thing about a side hug is, I didn't think about this, but do you know those, what do they call them? Those sticks that they use to take selfie sticks? Now every time I do a side hug, I am just imagining someone going click. You know what I mean? You know, isn't it weird you just walk up to somebody and you kind of have to go like that? But hey, if that's what you have to do. But we call them huggy bears. Okay, growing up, my dad said, hey, come on in, man, you need a huggy bear. There's one thing about hugging, though, and having this idea of accepting. The Greek word that Paul is using for accept is welcoming, basically with open arms. So if you start with accepting your brother or sister in love and in closeness, it kind of starts to stop it from the get-go. It's like being proactive. You're not going to go down that road of being judgmental and despising. But, you know, if you don't tackle that one first, he's got the next one. We should not despise, have a poor attitude, or pass judgment on our brothers and sisters. Ephesians 4:29, no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Okay? When you see your brother and sister, unless it falls under one of those things that are you know definitely is a sinful thing, and look at Matthew 15, don't judge, don't despise them, don't look down on them. You know, one of the things that I love about my wife is times I'm probably gonna have to sleep on the couch about this one. Sometimes she can look at me and I'm a person that has to be, I'm very visual, you know? So someone can look at me and I think, and this is my problem, I think they're thinking what I see them thinking. Does that make sense? And then I go, what? And then she goes, what? What are you thinking? I wasn't thinking anything. Well, you had that face. What face? You know that face. You know, and the thing is, we have to stop that. I have to stop that. we have to go and give love to the people. We have to understand that we should not be judgmental. And when we start thinking judgmentally and we start thinking despisingly, we need to stop. We need to stop ourselves. We need to go over there and give them a side hug. Three. God accepted them and he is their master. I don't know if you guys know this gentleman. His name is Matt Slick. He's the president and founder of Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. It's called CARM. I like to use it a lot when I'm doing some research. One of the things he said was, one of the best things I learned in seminary was when a professor wrote on the board, "There is God, you are not him." Okay, we're not God. God is sovereign. God is the master. He is the creator of the universe. And even though we do not call him Lord, some people do not call him Lord. He is Lord. They're going to find out. He is Lord. Plain and simple. And so it lets us know who we are and where our place is and that he accepted them. When Paul was talking about, you know, hey, they are his servant. They are his servant. They're not our servant. You know, we don't tell them what to do. We don't tell them when to fall. We don't control their breath. We can't take it away. We can't raise them from the dead. Only God can do that, you know? So in this whole scheme of these quarrels and thinking, we have to remember who we are, and it's going to do us good and do them good. Give one another the freedom to have different opinions and display Christianity in light of their own expressions and culture. Okay, this is very important. I am not one of those people that go and say, and if you differ with me, that's okay. I love you. We'll agree to disagree, and I'll give you a huggy bear if you want one. Some people look back at their past and say, you did this to my people. So you owe me reprobations, or you need to say sorry, and you need to do this, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not one of those people. I don't agree with it. But here's something that happens, okay? Because we take the things that we learn, and we are to do this, biblical things, and we apply it to our culture. Sometimes we take our culture and apply it to the Bible and say, this is biblical. And it has had some really bad repercussions. Okay? Nothing to get. Western civilization, the people, Europeans that have come to other countries, have done immense things for those countries. They've brought education to the countries. They have brought technical leaps and bounds. They've brought art. They brought all kinds of things. And have and unfortunately, some of these countries don't focus on all the good that has come from Western civilization. Some of the things that weren't good was when Christianity came along with it, the Western civilization said, you guys are supposed to dress like this. You guys are supposed to eat this food. You guys are supposed to stop. You can't praise God like that. You know what I mean? You got to praise God like this. You got to act like that. You got to sit in the pews when someone wanted to run around and dance and beat on their drums for like 5 hours. You know, people are different. We got to allow them to express their love for God in through their culture and in different ways, especially in those areas. All right? We belong to God and will answer to him. I answered that. Okay? We all belong to God and we only answer to him. We don't answer to one another in the end. When we die, we go before God and we take account in front of him for our words and our deeds. And if we look at it this way, those people are not answering to us. They're answering to God. All right? Sometimes I guess it's another way of saying, you know, cut your pride out. Be humble, be loving, and understand who we are and who we are in the scheme of this family. Respect each other's convictions. If it is wrong for them, then it is wrong. You know, My brother Boogie, that's his nickname. His real name's Raul. But when we're around, when we're in official areas, we don't call him Boogie. I'll tell you why. If you're interested in why he's called Boogie, I'll tell you later. It's weird. He's in the Marine Corps. He's a colonel in the Marine Corps, and he's the base commander for Hawaii, okay? I was in the Marines, too, and I was in the military. We didn't like that, based on conviction. He's a believer. I strongly believe he's a believer. We've talked about it, and he shared his testimony with me, and, you know, he raises his children as a Christian father, but we differ in some areas. And pretty much my whole family's kind of on that side. But even though we differ, he's my brother. Even though we differ, I love him to death. Now, when they had that fake missile alert going on in Hawaii, I automatically thought of him because he's base commander. And I knew he would be working at that time. And that time, when that was happening, he was in a bunker somewhere, and his family were back at home. And they were in separate places, right? And then he told me about what happened, how he was looking at two families. One was a Christian family, and they were praying together. The other one wasn't a Christian family, and the mom and dad were on the cell phones, and the kids were crying, and his wife was running around. All she could think about was getting bananas for the kids and running into the bathtub. You know, what do you do when a nuclear bomb's heading your way? You know, at least they thought so. So later on, we talked. And, you know, Boogie said, hey, man, you know, I've given this some thought. I'm getting out. You know, I'm getting out of the military. I'm going to retire. I'm done. But you know what? All those years that we've been brothers, you know, could I have pushed an issue? Yeah. Could that have been an issue we debated? Absolutely. We disagreed on it, but we didn't. We knew that and respected one another's convictions because it was heartfelt, and we believed that we're honoring God in the way that we're living our lives. So please do that. If you have a brother, sister, or family member that differ from you, love them. Love them. They just got a different conviction. Limit your own freedoms for the good of brothers and other brothers and sisters. Don't be a stumbling block and work for peace. If you know or are not sure that a brother or sister has a problem with pork or wine, ask them. You know what I mean? Ask them. One of the things I do when I'm getting ready to have a dinner for people is I ask them, hey, are you allergic to something? Do you have any food allergies? I don't want to kill you. You know what I mean? God is doing a work in them. If you read through the Word, chapter 14, God is doing a work in them, okay? You don't want to be the stumbling block to that work that God is doing. You don't want to be the one to sit around and say, okay, I'm going to eat my pork chop, and I don't care what the other person thinks. You know, you want to be kind of sensitive to that, and you want to work for peace. Jerry and Jeff did a great job up here. Kids, thanks for being nice to them. They did an outstanding job. I love those two when they were working up here. It was like Laurel and Hardy, if any of you guys remember those two. But they were right. We've got to work for peace, not work for separation and arguing, working for peace. Do not pressure others to violate their own conscience. All right, so you have your conscience, they have their conscience, and you have to respect that. It says, now think about it like this. If they think it is wrong or sinful, and you tempt them to disobey their conscience, are you being loving or supporting them in the relationship and trying to honor God? In time, they may come to see their freedom in that area. But what is your purpose in leading them down a road they think is wrong? It might be a telling indication of your own spirit. Okay? You don't want to lead them down a road. If they say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I just don't think God would want me to do that. Then don't force them down that road. It's not important. So what happens when we handle these differences properly? We will have the peace and love of God with us. 2 Corinthians 13, 11 says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." If you cannot handle disputes or you're really hot on a certain issue, you know what I mean? It's better not to go down that road. It's better just to say, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, he talked about keeping it between you and God. It's okay. Just, you know, all right, this is me. This is you. I respect you. I love you. And let's love one another. And let's live in peace. You know, so, you know, it's not that God is going to leave you, but the Spirit of God, the people will see the Spirit of God. You're going to sense the Spirit of God of love and peace with you. The other thing is this. People will know that Jesus was sent by God because of our unity in him. John 17, 21 says, "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." Have any of you guys been... I love my in-laws. If you know Carl and Elaine, their family's incredible. It's like, I can't explain it, okay? Our family was nuts. And arguing and stuff like that on a daily basis, it was, when I went there, I felt like I was in a 1950s sitcom. You know, I mean, it was just awesome. You know, and you wanna be there. You want to be kind of part of it. It's relaxing. You don't sense all that. You know, if you look into a house where people are always arguing, there's disunity, you don't want to go through that door. If you walk by a room and you, like teachers and, you know, or something, a principal's talking to a teacher or whatever, and you see this, and all, you don't want to go in that room. You don't want to be no part of it, you know? And Jesus, you know, being God and God being love, how we act and how we relate to one another is a witness to how the world's going to see Christ. And so that's very telling. "And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." We have to understand that. We have to realize that. When you go tell a friend that is not a believer gossip or being judgmental about another Christian, it says a lot about what they're going to think Christianity is. All right, so to sum it all up, just because a person is smoking a cigarette outside of a church building does not mean that they are not saved. They may be trying to overcome it, or they may not believe it is essential to their salvation. In areas where the Bible is silent, I will also choose to be. Jack Wellman is a pastor of a Brethren church in Kansas, and he's also a writer. And I thought that was a very good quote, because he's saying, in areas where the Bible is silent, I will also choose to be silent. I am not going to pass judgment or despise my brother. Last but not least, Reverend Billy Graham passed away. Some of you guys know that, and he was buried they had the funeral this past week. And when I became a Christian, I really liked hearing different things from him and reading things from him. And sometimes he can be very wordy, but he cut straight to the chase when he said this quote. "It is the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love." Plain and simple. You know? Okay? The Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to love, God's job to judge, our job to love. All right? So that's what we should do with one another when we're looking at these disputable matters. All right? All right. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, for your wisdom. You are our creator. You know what makes us tick, and you know how we think. You know that it would be confusing sometimes for us as we look at your word and study it and want to honor you and bring glory to you. And, And also, sometimes we're not being judgmental and we're not trying to despise one another. We're just trying to care for one another and love on one another. And please be with us as brothers and sisters, as a family, and help us to look at these situations where we try to determine what is right and wrong, and convict us and give us the knowledge to know it's just personal preference. How we dress, you know, what we do with certain things, what foods we eat, how we worship, you know our hearts. Help us to just love one another and to build one another up in praising you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.